Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning again, everybody. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your living word. And I pray that we will hear what you want us to hear this morning. Amen. I have to admit, I'm a bit of a fan of Star Trek, the original series, that is. Not that I'm a real Trekkie, in that I don't attend conventions or dress up as a Klingon or anything like that. But I really enjoy watching the episodes still, which turn up on some various TV channels. And most of the storylines are quite positive. You know, it's about good triumphing over evil, people being freed from oppression, or being shown the way to a better life. There's the crew of the Starship Enterprise working together, backing each other up and aiming for the same goals. And of course, there's the famous statement which comes over the credits at the start of each episode: "Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before." Mission statements and sort of corporate slogans are very much in vogue at the moment. These range from one which I think is quite sensible, like Tesla, to accelerate the world's transition to sustainable energy, ranging to the rather pretentious, like, "We use ice cream to change the world." And today's reading, we could see as a sort of mission statement from Jesus, known as the Great Commission, which he gave to his disciples after the resurrection, but before he descended into heaven. I wonder how those disciples received it. It's up on one of the hills above the Sea of Galilee, probably quite a pleasant spot, grassy, gentle breezes, sunshine. I wonder if they sort of were thinking about what they've been through with Jesus over the last 3 years. There was the terrific highs like Palm Sunday, the astounding miracles, all the healings, the driving out of evil spirits, of course, the great teaching. Yet there'd also been the disagreements, the arguments like about who was going to be the greatest, and the puzzlement when they didn't really understand what was going on. And maybe up to the last minute, they thought Jesus was going to be the sort of Messiah they wanted, a dynamic political leader who'd drive out the Romans and save Israel, and they would have their place with him in the new government. Instead, Jesus issues them with a somewhat daunting instruction: "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Well, daunting indeed. And no wonder some of them might have been unsure. When in the passage Matthew says that some doubted, that's not so much a lack of faith, or rather them doubting whether they were up to the task. Yet, as we know and can read in the book of Acts, they did start that mission with what a tremendous result. Christian church that today has an estimated 2.4 billion followers worldwide, the church of which we are a part. And one of the most important things is that they knew they were not alone. On this Trinity Sunday, we can hear again the words Jesus spoke to them. They were sent in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They also received that most comforting and reassuring of promises from Jesus. Surely I am with you always to the end of the age. And they went out in fellowship together. And the Great Commission was not just for the disciples then. It's for us as well, because we are also followers of Jesus. We are also his disciples. It's not necessarily an easy thing to take on, of course. It would be more comfortable just to turn up on a Sunday, whether online or in person, to sit back and listen. But as Andrew and Susie say every week from the rectory at this online service, join in. Whilst, unlike the first disciples, we haven't had the blessing of seeing Jesus working and teaching at first hand, our Christian journey as modern day disciples of Jesus is very much the same as theirs, I think. There's the highs, the moments of elation when we feel the touch of God or Jesus or the Spirit, or there's a glimpse of heaven. Those moments when we listen to a song or a piece of scripture and suddenly something makes sense. We give thanks for when our prayers are answered or healing takes place. We experience those little miracles in everyday life. Of course, there's always also the times of disagreement, whether in our family or daily lives or in church, or when everything about our faith seems hard or we don't understand it, or when our prayers don't seem to be answered. However, the Great Commission isn't something we can opt out of. If Jesus commanded it, then obviously it's important. But like the disciples, we don't have to do it alone. We can go equipped for the journey with our Bible, the wealth of Christian literature and resources online, in print, in fellowship with our church family at St. Mary's, on a Sunday or a Wednesday, in small groups or something like an Alpha course, and in fellowship and solidarity with millions of our Christian sisters and brothers throughout the world, going in the name of the Trinity and with that same promise of Jesus ringing in our ears. For most of us, obeying the Great Commission won't involve travelling to the furthest corners of the earth to preach the gospel. Well, that might be. Only God knows what's in store for each of us. Actually, it might be something much simpler, but just as effective. Those of us who regularly join the online Facebook service know that every week Andrew encourages us to click on like or share. I must admit, I was wondering, well, what's the point of that? Does it really have any effect? Here's a story from Wendy in Chicago, used with her permission. I was baptised into the Catholic faith and was a practising Catholic until a few years ago. I fell seriously ill and was undergoing yet another surgery when I asked for the sacrament of the sick, the priest refused, as he discovered I was divorced. I was incredibly shocked and subsequently lost my connection with religion. In 2021, the whole world still in a state of chaos, I prayed and asked God for direction. As a historian who studied faith, I thought there had to be someone somewhere who would welcome me, but I had absolutely no luck. A few days later, I went on Google to look up something utterly unconnected with religion. I saw a notice about St. Mary's Hamwell and its online services. I was intrigued and read about the history of the church. I then realised on that day it was the feast day of Mary. I thought, well, I could try and maybe this was a sign. It took a little while to feel comfortable attending and engaging in the comments. But once I started, I never stopped attending the online services. Even 3,947 miles away, Susie and Andrew have welcomed me into the community, and everyone has been so kind and friendly. I've not only rediscovered my Christian faith, but my path and practice with Christ also deepened in ways that I could not have imagined would ever have been possible again without the online services. I feel truly blessed to be a part of the online worship and hopefully someday can attend in person. So, however we follow the Great Commission, let's go boldly. Amen.